Jesus has a table spread.
Hello, friends. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn, and I welcome you to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. I trust our broadcast will be a real blessing. And now let's come and dine around the Word of God together.
Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calls, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time.
And I welcome you to the Gospel Pulpit for Wednesday, January the 28th. I hope you're making plans now to be in your church. Amen. This Lord's Day, or this Wednesday evening, rather, and we set aside this time for prayer service. And I tell you what, I'm looking forward to being at the house of God on this Wednesday evening. And I praise the Lord for all the preachers that are allowing me the open doors to preach and to be in the churches. And I thank God for it. It's a joy to be able to preach. It's a joy to somebody who wants you to come preach. Amen. And so I'm able to go preach wherever the Lord opens the door. I'm able to do that, but God's been good to let me do that. And I appreciate it. Amen. Then we're still wanting to get some churches. We'd like to have some new supporting churches. We are a mission work here. Amen. This is a nonprofit ministry, and we're trying to get the gospel out to people. I just preach the Word of God, folks. That's it. That's all I have to offer. Amen. No gimmicks, no tricks. And I just preach the Word of God to you. We may offer something special on the radio every once in a while, but I don't have a lot to offer except the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the greatest thing. That's our power. Amen. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Amen. To them that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Boy, I'm glad I trusted the Lord 48 years ago. And I experienced the power of the gospel. Amen. You think about the power of the gospel all the way through the gospels. And the power of the gospel got the demons out of the maniac. And it got the woman out of the bad relationship at the well. It got the woman in adultery, amen, forgiven. Boy, the power of the gospel. It got old Apostle Paul saved. Ain't that wonderful? That's great, amen. And my friend, the greatest need today is if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, that you accept what Jesus did on Calvary. He died, buried, and rose again for your sins, died for you. And ask him to save you. Fall on your knees. Ask the Lord to save you. Maybe I'm talking to some sick person. You can't bow down, but you can call on him from your sick bed and ask God. Somebody said, preacher, do you believe in deathbed repentance? Well, God does. The thief on the cross got saved, and if he wasn't on death row, I don't know who was. Amen. So, yes, sir. Amen. And a lot of questions we have is right there in the Bible if we just look for them. Father, bless every preacher, missionary, and evangelist, God, that preaches tonight. Will you go give them a special touch and fill them with the Holy Ghost and help them? In Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Let's go back to our message on a zeal that consumes. I learned to live for God. And when the dancing come around, the squire dancing come around, I wrote the teacher a note. I had Mom, I said, write the teacher a note and tell her I won't be participating in the squire dancing. Now you say, well, why is that, preacher? Well, now, a praying knee and a dancing foot won't fit on the same leg. And so that wasn't Mama, that was me. Now, you young people, you can live for God in school. What some of you young people want is you want to be the victim, okay? Can I just tell you plain, you want to be the victim. Oh, I'm having it so hard. You don't have no heart to nobody else. Amen. You may live in a bad situation. You may live in a bad... Listen, I came from a drunkard's home. And even after my daddy and mama and got in church, there was a lot of confusion in our home. And I had every excuse in the world. I could have sat still. I didn't have to preach. I was drawing that Social Security check. I was comfortable living at home off of mom and daddy. I was comfortable. And God rooted me out of the nest, and I thank God that he did. Amen. But a zeal for prayer. Now, prayer will keep you away from temptation. Now, here's Peter. Peter goes to sleep. Now, when Jesus already told Peter earlier in this chapter, you're going to deny me. And Peter didn't believe him. Well, Peter didn't pray. Peter wasn't full of God. For the next test that came was the garden test. And they took Jesus. And Peter denied. And the last time Peter denied, the Bible said that Peter began to curse and swear. There's a Baptist preacher. He just went to cussing. He said, I'm just, you know. And you know why? He wasn't where he needed to be in prayer. And when we're not where we need to be in prayer, in these old bodies, we get in the flesh and we'll say and do things. Now the psalmist said, my zeal hath consumed me. We need a zeal about prayer. Let me give you this about prayer. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 4. for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Let me stop right there, and I don't be ugly. I don't be mean. Some of y'all think all I do is come on the radio and preach against you. I don't be mean. But, folks, I'm not going to fight the Lord's battles with the carnal weapons that we're presented with today. Social media is not a weapon. By the way, it's good to let people know about your church on there. That's fine, but it's fine. But it's not a place to fight people. My fight is not with some preacher on social media. My fight is not with some preacher on the radio. That's carnal weapons. My fight is not, I'm not in the letter writing business. And I'm definitely not in the anonymous letter writing business. Anybody that'll write a letter and won't sign their name to it, why, they're a coward as far as I'm concerned. Amen. That's a cheap way out. I just want to write you a letter and let you know I'm anonymous. No, you're a coward. Anything you can't sign your name to, you're a coward. Now you mark it down, you're a coward. Amen. You are a coward. Now here's the thing about it. Here's the thing about it. Amen. So, what I'm trying to say to you is this, that our weapons are not carnal. Now, prayer is one of our weapons. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. That's right there included with the armor of God in Ephesians chapter number 6. Now, prayer is one of my weapons. Now, prayer will go where you can't go. Prayer will do things that you can't do on your own. Preacher, if you want to really go somewhere for God, prayer. Now, I've heard preachers say, well, you know, you say, well, the Lord will open doors, but you got to get out there and make yourself known. Well, let me say this to you. I don't preach 50 meetings a year. Now, I'm not against that. I got friends that do. I thank God they do. But number one, I'm not physically able to do that, I don't think. Number two, and I'd tried if the Lord gave them to me, but number two, my ministry is so involved that I don't think I could be gone 50 weeks a year from the ministry and it would survive. I don't think this ministry would survive that. And so I say that to say this, that I pray. The way I get places to preach is I get on my knees and I pray in my places of prayer, and God allows people to call me. And sometimes, amen, I've had people call me I didn't even know. Now let me tell you something. God knows how to get you where you need to be. And all I'm saying is you can depend on whatever you want to, but I'm going to trust in the Lord. He said in 2 Corinthians 10:4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I got a weapon in God the devil hates, and that's prayer. I'm going to use prayer. If I find that a man is fighting me, I put him on a list and pray for him. You can't do anything with a man that's praying for you. You say, well, I disagree with that fella. I'm gonna try to run him in the ground. Bobby Robertson told a story one time. Bobby said two preachers got into an argument. He said, I was pastoring the church at Gospel Light. And he said, one preacher sent that other preacher a letter. He said, he never said anything to me, but I got a copy of the letter. He said that other preacher responded back to that preacher, but he never mentioned me, but I got a copy of the letter. He said, I wasn't even in the fight, but I got a copy. Why do you want to drag other people in the middle of your message? Amen? Why, listen, folk, don't live in drama. Don't live in that mess. Go to prayer. Take it to God in prayer. You say, preacher, there's something at the church that I don't agree with. Well, then take it to the Lord in prayer. You say, preacher, I don't agree with my pastor. Well, take it to the Lord in prayer. God's able to change his heart. I've seen God change things and people and situations through prayer. I've seen God open doors through prayer that they're not opened any other way. David, the psalmist, said, I have a zeal. He said, my zeal has consumed me. Do we have a zeal to pray? My friend, listen, praying is not some routine thing. Praying is survival, is being filled with the Spirit every day. Praying is like charging your battery. I charged my phone just last night. They was calling for maybe a little bit of mixed weather, and I got thinking about that. I said, well, I want my phone to be charged up where, you know, if the power goes off, I have a full phone and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you something. You know what? When you pray, it charges your battery for God. Have a zeal for prayer. You got to override this flesh. Let me tell you, the flesh will never like praying. The flesh will never take time for praying. You're going to have to do it. Amen. The spiritual part of you has got to rise up. Now, number one, a zeal for prayer. Amen. Now, let me say this. The psalmist said, I have my zeal hath consumed me. Number two. What about a zeal for church? What about a zeal for church? I like the local New Testament Bible-believing church. Do you like the church? Somebody wrote a song and said, we need the church. I like that, don't you? We need the church. Now, you say, preacher, I can live as good at home. Well, the Bible doesn't back that up. You say, now, preacher, I've got the television preacher that preaches to me every Sunday. God didn't ordain that. Now, I want to say something. I'm on radio every day of my life somewhere in this country. I'm on radio. Now, wait a minute. Listen to me. I'm on radio on Sunday. Matter of fact, I do a Sunday school hour on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. on our local stations. I do the Sunday school hour. Now, wait a minute. That Sunday school hour, nor this radio broadcast that you're listening to, is an excuse for me to stay outside of the church house. It's not an excuse. Because God wants me to be at the church. That's where my family is. My family. You ever heard that old song? I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by His blood. Join heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. I'm part of the family of God. Amen. You ever heard that? The church is my family. I love the church. Yeah, you know, Mama got saved on Thursday night, September 1975. Sunday morning, we went to the Maple Springs Baptist Church in Rhonda, North Carolina. That's the church that won my mama the Lord, and we went there. Well, we ended up joining the Rhonda Baptist Tabernacle, which was a few miles up the road, and we stayed there for years. And church at an early age has been part of my life. I love it. I love the church. Amen. What did Jesus say about it? Psalm 69:9, He said, for the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. He said, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. He said, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Jesus was a church man. Jesus believed in going in the temple. Now, you say, well, preacher, we go to church some. I want to tell you something. If you name the name of Christ and you say, I'm a Christian, and you are not faithful to a local church, number one, I don't know if you're saved. I'm not going to tell you are or you ain't. But I'll say this. If you're saved, you're bringing a dishonor upon my Lord. Because Jesus gave Himself for who? The church. Now, I think we make a mistake when us preachers major on, well, the church ain't the building. I've heard that. The church is the people. Let me say this to you. If you want to make that statement, it's up to you. Now, wait a minute. Hold on. Hold the mule a minute. The church is the people. I am part of the born-again church. I am the part of the church that's going to leave out of here one of these days. Well, friend, we come to the end of our Wednesday radio broadcast for January the 28th. It's been a great joy to be with you on radio today. I hope you will listen again tomorrow. We are preaching this week from a message entitled A Zeal That Consumes, R488-1, or you can put today's date on there. If you want that message, it is free of charge. You can write for it, or you can email us, comments@gbiradio.org, or our mailing address, GBI, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina 27017. All right. God bless you. Until our next broadcast, thank you for listening, is my prayer.
Jesus. Well, friends, I want to thank you for listening to today's Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast. Address your cards and letters to the Gospel Pulpit, Post Office Box 797, Dobson, North Carolina 27017. I'm Brother Ricky Cawthorn. I hope you'll tune in again on the same station at the same time for another Gospel Pulpit radio broadcast when we come and dine around the Word of God together.
All the time, He who fed the multitudes turned the water into wine to the hungry.